brilliant. Welcome if you're listening online and here amongst us. And we're going to receive a blessing this morning, as we've already done as we worshiped him, the blessing of his peace. But we're going to receive a blessing from his word. I want you to speak to yourself and say, you're about to get blessed. Are you ready? You're about to get blessed. Are you ready? Okay, would you take your seat if you're at home and or listening, and just get into a position where you're comfortable to receive and alert. You know, I never get over the wonder of God's word, living and powerful, and he just loves to bless us. And one of the ways he does that is that he brings a word to us. And God has really put a word on my heart for you and for myself as well. So I've been living with this for a little bit blessed, I believe, to be able to speak to you this morning. And if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, I don't know if you know it, but the book of Exodus, the word Exodus means the way out. I don't know if you need a way out, but God tells us the way out. Whatever you're in that isn't looking great, God has a way out. And Jesus is that way. He's made a way out. Out of all trouble, affliction, all kinds of problems and situations, Jesus is the way. And I believe that is already a word for somebody this morning. God has provided a way out. Even a way out of temptation. If you're being tempted to sin, to compromise your faith, Jesus has provided a way out. He's the God who brings us out, and then he brings us in, into all the blessings and the goodness that Jesus died for us to receive. And the book of Exodus is about God's mighty power confronting the powers. If you need to see it, it's almost like another gospel story. It is a type of the gospel. God's power to bring us out from under slavery to sin, to Satan, to bondage, to sickness, to all the curse, all the horror that the fall and Satan brought into the world. And how God, with his mighty hand, delivered a nation, a people, to come and worship him and to bring them into all the blessings that he had always intended for humanity. And this story kind of has a very interesting beginning, because there was a lot of opposition. The God's people, the Israelites, were in Egypt. And it's a type of the world. They were under the power of Pharaoh, who's a type of Satan, really, a supreme power. In fact, one of the emblems of a Pharaoh was that they wore a head, kind of like a crown, with a serpent on that head, that crown, as a sign, really, of really how Satan wants to use and manipulate world powers for his own ends. And so God's got a plan. And God always finds somebody to work through. Because God hasn't chosen to do things in our world, whether it's today or yesterday in history, without using people. And I want to tell you this morning, you the plan. You the plan. Okay? Because God has called you to do something you can't do. Big smile. You can't do it. Which is why it takes the power of God to do it. Otherwise, we'd all be singing about our own praises, about how great we are. But then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great you are, not me. And so God has a plan. But he needs to use people, and he needs to use someone. And I've been so encouraged by the life of Moses personally, because the early years, the birth of Moses, was a miracle. And God preserved his life when every child born, Pharaoh wanted to kill all the male children to stop the line. Always it's been Satan's plan to stop to stop God moving, to stop the plan of God for salvation through a people. So if he can stop the people, he can seemingly stop the plan. But how many of you know God is more powerful than Satan's plan? And so God had a plan, and this little child called Moses, who every parent looks at their children and say they're the most beautiful child in the world, but it was a faith look. The parents looked at their child with a faith, an expectancy of, hang on, there's something. God wants to do something in my child's life. So it was the faith of the parents that stopped Pharaoh being able to kill the child. Not only that, you remember Moses was kind of, in faith, they let Moses go out in the basket into the river. You remember that story? You can read it at the beginning of Exodus. And as the parents let Moses go, they let him go to God, not to a river. If you let your child go to God, let me tell you what, God will use that faith. That's not the message, but it's a great message. So it's the faith of the parents that saved him. And then, you know, Pharaoh's daughter was having a nice bathing session. I don't know whether she went for a swim. Don't know whether you swam in the Nile, but there she was down by the Nile. And she heard Moses cry. And how God used the compassion of Pharaoh's daughter to adopt a child that should have died, but was preserved for the plan of God, to be God's choice to bring people, a nation, out of bondage and into the blessing that God planned. Amazing story. It's a wonderful story. God's way out. And so there's Pharaoh, Moses in Pharaoh's house, very privileged place. He got all the niceties there was. If there was a new game to play, he got it. If there was new tech, he got it. He was blessed, okay? And he had an education that went beyond the normal. But Moses had a nanny called Mum, because Pharaoh's daughter paid for Moses' mum to raise her own son. That's not bad, is it? Getting the devil to pay for raising your kids. Anyway, too much. I'm saying too much this morning, aren't I? But anyway, I just think it's an amazing story. So nanny mum, never forget, parents are so influential with their children, was influencing, teaching Moses about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and training him up in the ways of God. And he grew to love God and love God's people, so that he eventually decided, I'm not going to identify my life with the world like us Christians. That's what we do. My identity isn't what the world says I am. My identity is in God, in Christ Jesus. And so he picked God's people. And when he saw Hebrew slaves being mistreated by the Egyptian rulers, he decided, and this is the big mistake, right? He made a big mistake. He decided to take matters into his own hands. And whenever you and I take matters into our own hands, I want to tell you, it goes wrong. Anybody? And this is going to be an epic fail, okay? This is the man who God has chosen to work through, but he has an epic fail. And I'm part of that crowd. Nobody else in the room is looking as though they are. But maybe out there you're thinking, I am part of this. I have failed in my life. And actually Moses sinned. And some Christians say this ridiculous comment, well, it was always God's plan that I failed. It's rubbish. God never fails in any plan. So we can't blame God for Moses' failure. But we know that God is the redeemer of failures and chooses the things that are not, and those things that are weak and despised, and the people who think, actually, I can't do it. See, Moses thought he could do something about the situation. So he killed an Egyptian and hid him in the sand. I can imagine this, buried him. But somebody had been watching and he was found out. And that's a sin, to murder. So Moses sinned and failed, and he ran for his life. So there he is on the run, and he ends up in the desert. Now at this time, Moses is 40. And, you know, he might have sat down and thought, that's the end of my life then. It was definitely the end of his life as he knew it. But the beginning of the lesson from the Word of God, before I go on, is that whatever we do in failure, God forgives and he begins a new thing. He starts to do something that only he can do. He doesn't need Moses' help. Now, Moses' failure led him to live quite a natural life, right? So no reference to the people of God, no reference to the miracle-working God. Even though he didn't lose his faith completely, life began to get really natural, and he worked for his father-in-law. He wasn't even the boss anymore. And I can see God working, you know, a process of making a mountain low. Moses began up here, and God was taking him down. Never underestimate the power of being taken down, because God raises the humble. So if you're on the way down, let me tell you, there is a way up. And God will lift up the humble and give grace to the humble. So Moses is being taken down a peg or two. So he's working for his father-in-law, looking after sheep in the desert. So this is Prince of Egypt now taking care of smelly sheep. A working life that he wouldn't have chosen. How many of you ever worked in a situation you think this stinks? Okay, this stinks. I've worked in a place where I've thought this stinks. This job stinks. And Moses is coming down even further. But he met one of Jethro's, his father-in-law's daughters, married, had two children. One of his children he called Gershom, which means a stranger in a foreign land. In other words, he never felt he belonged. And until you're in the place of your calling, the preparation makes you always feel like you don't belong. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're not in the right place. Because God uses desert to do stuff. God uses the desert, the failure, the I can't do this anymore. I believe Moses got to the end of himself. Now the world will tell you, never get to the end of yourself. You can do anything. God will tell you, get to the end of yourself and I'll show you what I can do. Amen. Anybody amen? Because the end of self is the beginning of the power of God. When you get to the end of what you can do, that's when God says, oh, now, this valley, he was a mountain. I still had a plan. The plan's never changed. I just needed to do a bit of work. So he'd gone down a bit. And God says, right, this valley, I step in to raise. But it's the raising power of God in a valley. Amen. So now we're going to cut in to Moses. Having had an encounter, I'm not going to talk about the burning bush, but God comes and speaks to him and he says, take off your shoes. I've got a plan. My plan is for the people. I'm going to do mighty signs and wonders, deliver my people out of bondage and oppression. It's the compassion of God. He sees what's going on, and he looks at Moses now, and he says, about ready. Just at the point where you think you could never do a thing for God, God says, now you're ready. I don't know if you've ever felt that. I felt that. I can't do anything for God. And I emphasize when I'm in that season, without him, I can do nothing. It's true, Lord. I really realize that. But then I need to shift it to with God. All things are possible. Okay, so now God has spoken to Moses. And in verse 1, Moses answers the Lord about this amazing call with signs and wonders and power, and that God wanted to use him to bring out a people out of darkness and slavery. And Moses is at his weakest point. So let the weak say, I am strong. There's going to be a change now. Moses, verse 1 of chapter 4, Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord hasn't appeared to you. Now, Moses is still very much in a valley of, nobody will listen to me. Nobody will say I'm anything. Nobody has a good perception of me. I'm just rubbish. I'm just a shepherd. I'm a nobody. And the Lord ignores this, really. The Lord says, what's in your hand? What's that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And the Lord said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. Interesting, isn't it? Became a serpent. Because this serpent was going to swallow up all the other gods in Egypt. This is God. In Egypt, the confrontation with all the powers and principalities that were working. God's power was going to swallow up every other power. That's the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he disarmed all the powers and principalities and he made a spectacle of them. Amen. The work of the cross is the victory of our faith. Amen. So Moses throws it out down and it became a serpent. And I love this. Moses ran. Okay, so he does a runner. Oh, do you know what? I love the real person in the Bible rather than the, you know, we sometimes just need to see how real Moses was before we understand that God uses weak, ordinary people to do extraordinary things. But God had a bit of a problem with Moses because humility had begun and really been worked in Moses' life. But the problem that God was now facing was unbelief in Moses. And I want to tell you, one of the biggest problems you and I have sometimes is unbelief. It's not that we don't believe that God can do anything. How many of you believe God can do anything? I mean, he made the universe, so we can say God can do anything. But what we have a problem with is God doing something through us. That's the unbelief that needs shifting. That God can do extraordinary things through us, through me. Not the person down the road, not in another nation, but where I live, where I work, through little old me. That's what we have a problem with. So Moses begins, he makes a long list, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But in verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, I'm not eloquent. I can't do this. I can't speak. I'm slow to speak. And God answers, well, who made your brain, mate? Who already created you? Do you not think I can give you what you need for the job? Because You're limiting God by what you can do. And you're saying, I can't. And the convincing that Moses needed was, he needed to move from, I can't do it, to I can do it through Christ, through God's power. And that's the big shift that faith brings in your life. That you believe that God will do it through you. He'll do it for you. He will do it in your life. He will do it in your reality. Because God wants to move in you and through you. Not through somebody else, but through you. And so he needs to move these excuses out of the way and say, it's time now to accept there are no excuses because I am with you. I love it that these great people had a struggle with how they saw themselves. I find it encouraging because they saw themselves naturally. They saw themselves as not being able to. Their limitations were down to their education, their age. I mean, at this point, Moses is 80. Ha, ha, ha. What a laugh. An 80-year-old. Isn't it wonderful that God... I've got a long list as to why God can't use me. You know, we've got the longest list. Well, I can't do that. I can't speak. I haven't got the contacts. I haven't got the money. I haven't got the education. I haven't got the wherewithal. I can't do it. Pick someone else. Here I am, pick them. Here I am, pick them. You're not doing a Shrek. Pick me, pick me, pick me. You're going, pick them, pick them, pick them. And yet God has chosen us to deliver this generation out of the power of Satan and turn them to God. In fact, God has chosen you. And he's chosen me. And we are walking around, I'll give you a long list as to why. I'm married. That's no excuse. I'm single. That's no excuse. I'm young. That's no excuse. I'm old. That's no excuse. Oh, hang on. It's not I. I've been crucified with Christ. I thought the I was over. But Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, what is significant? Is that God actually says to Moses, what do you have in your hand? And I think this is such an important question from the Lord for us today. Because God wants to do something with our natural lives. Okay, so Moses' stick, you can imagine him, he'd lean on it as a shepherd. And he'd deal with the issues protecting the sheep. And it was kind of like a symbol of who he was. He was a shepherd. It's his work. It's what he does for a living. It's how he lives. And most of the church have some kind of symbol of what they do. You know? Oh, for example, a sparky. We know what a sparky is, an electrician. You know, that's a symbol. It's what you do, right? And God doesn't want what you do to be an ordinary thing. He wants to fill it and change it to show that he's God. So whatever your gift, your talent, your resources, your home life, your money, your whatever you've got, your car, anything. God says, what do you have? Not what don't you have? Isn't it a great question from the Lord? What do you have in your hand? I love it that Elisha did the same with a widow. What do you have in your house? Don't look at me. I'm not your solution. God is. What do you have in your house? And Moses said, a rod. This was called Moses' rod. And the Lord says, throw it down. Oh, I believe the meaning behind that is so significant. Don't keep hold of it. Submit it to me. Surrender it. Come and fill. Come and fill, Lord, my job, my business. Come and fill my marriage. Come and fill my singleness. Come and fill my family. All that I have, come and fill it. And nothing God fills stays the same. Nothing he fills stays the same. It changes. When God filled a rock, it became a river and watered 3 million people in a desert. When God filled an axe head, it swam. When God filled the little oil, it multiplied and became a means of blessing for a whole family, abundance. When God filled the early church, think of them as rods. Think of them praying, because Jesus says, wait for the Spirit to come. When God filled them, they changed. Because everything he fills changes. And sometimes we're so keen on hanging on to my thing. It's my thing. No, God, I can do this. God says, let it go. Just let that thing go. I'm going to do a miracle that will surprise you. Moses ran. He was shocked what God did. And I do believe the world and the church need to start getting shocked about what God can do. Do we have any believers? Do we have any believers? I believe. It's time for us to be surprised and for the world to see the signs and wonders of God through ordinary people. And things and work and families. Come, God, fill it. Fill everything with your presence and power. You see, God designed it. And this is what we find hard, really. This is the crux point. God designed it that we shouldn't live independent of him. He designed it that the difference in our lives is God, not my gift, my talent, my ability to work things out, my brain. The difference in our lives is God. Do you not know how blessed we are? That's the difference in your life. Who you are is awesome because God is in you. Christ is in you. Paul said this is the secret of your life. God in a weak vessel. The human and the divine. God still needed Moses to go and speak and go and do what he asked him to do. God isn't going to go and save the world without you. He's not going to do the mighty signs and wonders without you. Believers will lay hands on the sick from a distance. Socially. With a rod. Yes, get a rod. Get a rod. That's the word of the Lord for this morning. Get a rod, not to beat them, to heal them. But we're here to do what Jesus said to do, and he'll follow through. But I love verse 20. Well, let's take verse 19. The Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead." Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey. That was the travel of the day. And he returned to the land of Egypt. So Moses actually obeyed God. Because the power doesn't work staying where you are. It's where the people are. Just feel that needs to settle. It's where the people are. That's where the power works. You have the power in you, but it's only released where the people are. And so he goes, and Moses took the rod of God. I love that. It used to be Moses' rod. Now, it was the rod of God. The natural had become supernatural, divine power. God filled it. And whenever God wanted to move through that rod, he told Moses what to do with it. And when Moses acted on what God said, the power, the superior power of Almighty God was revealed. It's a great need in our day, not to look at what we don't have. Can't we spend years on it? I mean, I can make a longer list than you of what I'm not. I wish I was somebody else. Has anybody ever wished there was somebody else? Just me? I wish I was like them in their preaching, them in their prayer. I wish I was them in their style, them in, I wish, oh. But God says, little old you, you're totally weak, aren't you? Yes, Lord. Can't do anything, can you? True, fully proven. I did fail many times. God's forgiven me. But those mountains, God had to bring me down so that he could do something extraordinary. So even the failure wasn't God doing it, it was me, but God worked through that in humbling me so that he could be exalted. Isn't he an amazing Savior? Isn't it important we see through Scripture with the Word how important the process is? How important faith is? And how important it is that God fills all, everything, even the rod of your time. Time, come and take over. Because we love to hold on to that rod. It's my time. And God says, no, it's my time. Let me fill it. It'll change. Things will start to work differently. When you hand your time over to God. I'm so stressed to hand it over. My family, they're just ruling the roost here. Hand them over. Let me fill it. And let me show you what to do. Because I will come and take over whatever you let go of in submission and faith in me. The rod of God. I can look at you this morning and by faith online. And say, You're the rod of God. Outwardly, you can do nothing. You're perishing, by the way. But inwardly, I see a different picture. I see Christ in you. I mean, just look at the people around you who are Christians, or look at yourself. Look at yourself and think, Christ is in me. Look at them and say, I see Christ in you. I see. That's the secret. Because it's never been about what we can do. It's always been about what our mighty, amazing, compassionate, and all-powerful God can do. Come and take over, Lord. Can be the only response. Moses let go of his identity. He had to let go of his failure so that God himself could work powerfully to change everything. Praise God. Let the weak say, I am strong. Shall we stand? Let's respond to the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, Lord. Lord, thank you that in history, throughout the Bible, but also recent history, you have filled whatever was yielded and given over to you. Thank you, Lord, that you work in and through our failures, that you forgive our sins freely, Lord. That if we failed, I need you to know this morning, if you failed, God forgives you. You are not a failure. God wants to work something through you that you are going to be surprised at. He's prepared amazing things for your life, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You might have a failed situation. Something's not worked. And God says, just yield it, give it over to me. Give yourself over to me. Because without me, you can do nothing. You can't do this. And I've planned life to work. The life that you now live, live by faith, trusting me, dependent on me. And I will do what I've always planned to do through your life. It's not over yet. Amen. Even if you're 80, I have a word for you from God. It is not over yet. And if you are currently struggling with the way your life's worked out, I want to tell you, God's at work. And we don't like the humbling process. I haven't liked it, how God has needed to humble me over the years I've been saved. But you know, when I'm at the end of myself, I'm at my happiest. The freest I can be is when I surrender my whole life to Jesus. So just say, Lord, I just want to surrender myself. I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want to take matters into my own hands. I want to take what is in my hands and release it to you. And I invite you, Lord, this morning as I surrender my life, my work, my family, my marriage, my destiny, my call to bring your power to release captives in this generation. I invite you to come and fill me. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's just receive. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us again. Come and fill everything that I am and represents my life, my business. Come, Lord, I give it to you. Come and change it. Don't just come into it. Come and do what you want to do in it and through it. And come and do what you want to do with my life. Because, Lord, I know it's not over yet. I haven't seen that great power that you have promised. I failed in my own strength, but now, Lord, it's time for you. And it's time for me to believe that you will do great things through me. Just say, Lord, I believe. I believe that you're going to do great things through me. Not just through somebody else, through my life. Come, Lord. Hallelujah. And we trust you. Let these things become the rod of God symbolically. That your authority and power over the enemy will work. That will break every curse. Set captives free. Release the multiplication power of our God resources in this generation. Come, Lord, take every job, every situation, every parent. Come and take them. Come and take our children. Come, Lord, come and fill our marriages. Come and show yourself to be the amazing one who changes everything. And our faith is in you. Lift up those who've been bowed down, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. And let us see that you have people for us to go to. And a power in which to release them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe God has changed things this morning. I believe that what we have done is just simple faith. And when Moses went back to Egypt where they knew him from before, Moses was completely different. Because he took the rod of God. Amen. He took the power of God back to the hospital, back to the office, back to where you live, back home with the family and the children and the grandchildren. Come on, our God is able. I pray that you have been greatly blessed this morning by the word of the Lord. God bless you. Have an amazing week seeing God use the natural and turn it into his amazing power. God bless. God bless you. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.